And the scripture text that we're going to consider speaks of the great faithfulness of God in preserving those that belong to the Lord Jesus Christ unto a glorious inheritance. And look with me, if you will, tonight to 1 Peter chapter 1 at the 4th and 5th verses. 1 Peter 1 verse 4. To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you that are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed at the last time. Let us look to God for a moment in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, as we speak of these mysteries tonight, these wonderful things, direct us into this truth in our minds, into that truth that we may hear and know and receive all that Thou hast for us here, and that we may even be sanctified by Thy holy word, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Peter blesses God as he opens this general epistle, praising God for His wonderful grace in Jesus Christ, praising God in the second verse for His election of us unto salvation, praising God for the blessed hope that is in our hearts that God brought about by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And then in verse 4, he goes on to speak about the inheritance unto which we are called as Christians. We are a people with an inheritance. And I think it's fitting, having come to the Lord's table this morning, and we have seen with our eyes the very emblems of the suffering and death of our Redeemer, to understand what He gained for us with His shed blood. Yes, He gained for us the remission of sins, but that was unto the glorious inheritance that we read about in this verse. And Peter goes on in verse 4 and 5 to describe our hope as Christians in terms of this inheritance, which we are led to see about. And there are really four things that Peter deals with in these two verses. First of all, he describes the nature of this inheritance. And then the Word of God tells us the place where this inheritance is received. Third, it tells us how this inheritance is attained. And fourth, the time of possession of this inheritance. So we'll be looking at each one of these things tonight. First of all, let us take note of the nature of this inheritance. The Bible teaches here that it is a possession laid up for the children of God by their Father who is in heaven. It's the same word here that's used of an earthly inheritance. Maybe some of you have an inheritance that is laid up for you, but you have not actually come into possession of it. Or maybe you have laid up an inheritance for your children after you, but as yet they have not come in to the possession of it. Believers are people with an inheritance that God Himself has reserved in heaven for them. Well, what is this inheritance that is reserved in heaven? Well, it is certainly the same as the lively hope unto which we have been begotten in verse 3. And that hope is the hope of eternal life in all of its fullness. Jesus said, "I give unto them," in John 10, "eternal life, and they shall never perish." What is this eternal life? Well, it is not simply an unending existence, although indeed it is that. But everyone has an unending existence. God has given to every person in the world an immortal soul that can never die. But the eternal life that the Bible speaks is a life to the full. It is a life lived in full and complete fellowship with God, our Heavenly Father. It is that inheritance that is spoken of in the Catechism. What benefits do believers receive from Christ at the resurrection? And I hope we know the answer to that. I hope I can remember the answer. At the resurrection, the bodies of believers will be raised up in glory and be reunited to their souls. And believers will be made perfect in that day, in the full enjoying of God to all eternity. God Himself is our inheritance, the full enjoying of God to all eternity. In heaven we shall be holy as God is holy. We shall see eye to eye with Him, think His thoughts after Him. Our knowledge of God will be greatly expanded. In fact, the knowledge that we have of the Lord now is very limited and restricted. But in that life, that eternal life to come in its fullness, there will be an expanded knowledge of God. And the doing of His will always will be our perfect delight. And this, beloved, is eternal life. This is life in all of its fullness. And we have this as a possession now, and we experience it. Paul says, now we know in part. The joy that we have in fellowship and communion with God now through our Lord Jesus Christ is a foretaste of the great expanded life in all of its fullness that will come in that world that is to come. And beloved, this is the Christian's inheritance. It is to be made perfectly blessed, as the Catechism says, in the full enjoying of God to all eternity. God Himself is our inheritance and our fellowship and relationship to Him. There is nothing else in heaven, really, but that. So that David says, whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon earth that I desire beside thee. Notice that this inheritance, well, before I go on to speak about that, John speaks of this inheritance in 1 John 3:2. We shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. And some may think that John here is speaking of the Son of God in His glorious resurrection body, and certainly we shall see Him. But the thought seems to be of God in His fullness, the three persons of the Godhead, that we shall behold Him, that we shall behold His glory, and beholding that, be changed by it. What a wonderful thought this is. And notice that this inheritance is sharply contrasted with any earthly inheritance that we might have. This is an inheritance, he says, that is incorruptible and undefiled, that fadeth not away. It's incorruptible. Everything else in the world that we can think of and know is corruptible. We may have houses and lands and all the things that money can buy, but it's all a corruptible inheritance. And if that's all we have, one day it's going to be corrupted. I had a friend in seminary, and we were, you know, as young men, we would admire this thing or that thing, and it got to be kind of a joke, but every time a beautiful car would come along that might be admired, he would say, it's all going to be burned up one day. Or a beautiful ring or a watch or whatever it is, it's all going to be burned up. and how true that is. Everything in the world is corruptible. Notice how he says later on, you were redeemed not with corruptible things such as silver and gold. But notice this inheritance is also one that is undefiled. There is nothing in this world that is totally pure. It is undefiled. It is holy and it is pure. And certainly this speaks of, this is a sweet thought indeed to those that labor under the burdens of sins in this life, knowing that in that world to come, that we shall be perfected in holiness and be pure as God is pure. And notice that it's an unfading inheritance. It's the same word that's used for the fading of a flower. Now, I know we have some people here that know a lot about flowers, and we all admire the beauty of a flower in full bloom. What a beautiful picture it is, but what happens after a few days? No matter how beautiful it is, it fades and it dies. And that's a picture of everything that we might hope for in this life. Sooner or later, it fades and dies because it's all corruptible and temporal. But the things that are not seen are eternal, and those are the things that Peter would focus our minds upon tonight. These are the great things that are reserved for us. And notice that the place of this inheritance, it is fixed in heaven, reserved in heaven for you. Now, this is not an inheritance reserved in a vault somewhere. And you know, even that can fade away and perish, can it? You can have $1 million reserved for you in a vault in a bank and have a title to it, but a foreign government can come over in our land and take over our country and confiscate that inheritance. And you know, that has happened to many, many people in the world. Even people, some of you may know people. But this inheritance that we have, this perfect joy in fellowship and communion with God in the doing of His will and learning more and more about the glories of His person and the glories of our Savior, this inheritance is reserved in heaven. Heaven is the holiest place of all. It is that place that is next to God Himself in the highest heaven. It is the place of His throne where the angels worship Him, where the faithful souls that have already departed this life, their souls are already there in heaven with God and Christ, next to our Lord Jesus Christ in that holy place. And here in that blessed place on high, so close to God and His throne, the Christian's inheritance is reserved. Oh, it is a secure inheritance. If you have cast your soul, the weight of your soul, upon Jesus Christ and believed in Him with all your heart, that inheritance can never be taken away from you, and nothing can ever keep you from coming into possession of that inheritance. It is reserved in heaven for you. We live in a world today where there's a lot of emphasis on security. Some jobs have more security than other jobs. Some investments are more secure than other investments. In fact, there's so much to think about in terms of security that we often get confused. But nothing is as secure as the Christian's inheritance. Peter says it's reserved in heaven for you. So having spoken about the nature of this inheritance and the place where we are to receive this inheritance, by the way, the Catechism puts it so beautifully, what benefits do believers receive from Christ at their death? Know the answer to that one, I know better than the previous one. The souls of believers are at their death made perfect in holiness and do immediately pass into glory. They come into possession of that inheritance, and yet not in all of its fullness, because as we shall see, that tremendous fullness will come at the last day when Jesus returns again and the bodies of believers are raised up from the dead. But a word about the attainment of this inheritance. And the most important thing to notice about what Peter says here, that it is not of ourselves the attainment of this inheritance. It's reserved in heaven for you who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed at the last day. But notice, it is not of ourselves. The Apostle Peter says that not only is this inheritance held in reserve and guarded for us, but also that we are being kept and preserved for this inheritance. Do you have dangers, temptations, snares, pitfalls, sins, failures? Oh yes, we have a plenty of them. And every saint that has ever lived has passed through this veil of tears with all of its disappointment and failures. But the Lord preserves His own to that inheritance. Thank God the attainment of it is not of ourselves, but of His wonderful preserving. The Bible says in Psalm 34, "The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear Him and delivereth them. And many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him from them all, and even from that last enemy, which is death itself. God will reach down and bring through death itself every soul that depends on Him into that glorious inheritance." But notice that we are kept, the Bible says, through faith. Kept by the power of God through faith. That keeping of us is not in a vacuum, so to speak, but we are kept through the exercise of faith, which is also the gift of God. What is faith? Faith is laying hold upon that which we cannot see with our physical eyes. It is the evidence of things not seen, the Bible says. It is the faith that Abraham had, as Paul speaks of it in Romans 4, he staggered not at the promise through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Or as the writer of Hebrews speaks concerning those Old Testament saints, these all died in faith, not having received the promise, but having seen them afar off, were persuaded of them and embraced them and confessed that they were pilgrims and sojourners on the earth. They confessed the reality of that other world, as Abraham did, who looked for a city whose builder and maker was God. He didn't pay attention so much to all the things that he could see and feel and touch around him, but he lived for that eternal city. And that's faith. And we are kept for this inheritance through believing in that inheritance and the God who has given it to us in the Lord Jesus Christ. The just shall live by faith. What does that mean? Well, it means that we apprehend and believe that which we cannot see, but that which surely exists. Now, notice the time of this inheritance. It is future. It is future. We are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Now, sometimes this expression, the last time in the Bible, refers to the whole period of the preaching of the gospel, the dispensation of the gospel of the grace of God, this entire period of history that began to run its course with the coming of Jesus Christ into the world. But in this particular scripture, undoubtedly, the expression "the last time" refers to the end of the world and the final coming of our Lord Jesus Christ in power and glory and the resurrection of believers and unbelievers from the grave, the time of the great judgment that will be brought in by our Lord Jesus Christ. It is future. Beloved, our salvation has only begun in this world compared to what it will be in its fullness. A little child may be heir to a great fortune, and he may have a title to it, but he has not, as we would say, come into his inheritance yet, into the actual possession of it. And that is the thought here that Peter says to believers that right now are overcome in heaviness indeed through manifold temptations. They are suffering with Christ in the world, filling up, as Paul says, that which is lacking in the sufferings of Christ in his body, which is the church. Yes, if we're to be glorified one day, we are to suffer with him now. But at the end of that time of suffering and trial and cross-bearing and difficulty will come this glorious inheritance in all of its fullness to all who believe. Our salvation has only begun. At that time, believers will be perfected not only in soul, but in body. And then they will know even as they are known. Who can speak of the glory of that day? Well, what practical use is there of these considerations about this inheritance? We've looked at the nature of this inheritance. We have considered the place of this inheritance and the attainment of it, that it's not of ourselves, and the time of this inheritance, that it is in the future. Is our inheritance in heaven? Then let us set our hearts upon heaven. The New Testament everywhere teaches us that we are to live with this hope of heaven before us every day. Set your affections on things above and not on things of the earth. As John says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. And there are many such other scriptures. Even as our Lord spoke, lay not up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and dust doth corrupt, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. We need very much to hear these words today. How little attention is paid to heaven and all that belongs to our inheritance there. We are rather concerned with the world and what we can do in the world and what we have here and now. But the Bible calls us away from the world to be a people that journey in faith toward that inheritance that is reserved in heaven. Well, how are we to set our affection on things above? Well, we do this through faith. We have need of faith. Notice that we are kept by the power of God through faith. And you know why heaven is often dim in our view? It is because faith is weak. And faith is weak very often because the Christian does not do those things that are necessary to keep faith warm and bright and growing. How we have need of faith and the increase of faith. Since faith is the very means by which we are kept for this inheritance, let us labor to become strong in faith as Abraham was. And how do you do that? You do that by taking time every day to spend time in the Word of God and prayer. There's no other way. Much of the spiritual barrenness in our lives is simply because we are starved spiritually. We take more pains to feed our physical bodies than we do our souls. And yet the Bible is calling us not to neglect the body, but not to overemphasize the body, but to give place to the spirit, to the things of our souls. How much time are we spending on our knees in prayer to God? How much time are we spending meditating upon the Word of God? Not just getting on our knees once a day for 5 minutes and thanking God for the day and for taking care of us and asking Him to watch over us through the night. How can faith be strengthened if that's all the prayer life that we have? How much do we plead with God? How much do we ask that He would cause His face to shine upon us and increase our faith and make Him and His fellowship more important to us than anything else in the world? How much do we draw near to Christ and seek to fellowship with Him and to feel His presence and to read His Word and to meditate upon His intercession and His sacrificial work for us? The sacraments, the means of grace, these are the ways that we keep faith bright and strong and growing. The services of the church, of course, are not to be neglected, because this is important also. The prayer meeting and all those opportunities that we have to grow in grace. Finally, let the knowledge of this inheritance teach us to endure patiently the trials of this life. I don't know what your trials are, but every one of us has trials and difficulties and temptations. But can we not endure them patiently, knowing that at the end of the way is this glorious inheritance that God has laid up for all of those that know His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ? Blessed be God, who has begotten us to such a hope and who has laid up such a glorious inheritance in heaven. And blessed be God for Jesus Christ, who has purchased it all with the shedding of His own precious blood. And He went through the jaws of hell itself to win this great inheritance for our souls. May the Lord bless this His word to us and increase our faith, that we may be people as Abraham was, whose hearts are set upon the hope of heaven, God Himself there. Let us pray. Almighty God, angels and archangels adore Thee, and how weak is the affection often of our hearts. We pray that Thou wilt increase our faith. Help us to walk through each day thinking of heaven and of this life to come. We know that it's only of Thy Spirit, that only Thou canst quicken us in this way. This is the work of God in the soul as our spiritual perceptions are turned on, so to speak, that we may see the things that are unseen by faith. Increase in us, we pray, Thy work, and we thank Thee for Thy boundless mercy in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.